Clarity, capabilities, confidence, action steps, direction, and simplicity. This is what you receive with growthtofreedom.com. Freedom is the new capital, and we're helping leaders, executives, business owners, and you transform your career, business, life, and relationships. This is the Growth to Freedom Show. Now, here is your host, Dan Cashel.
Welcome to growthtofreedom.com, the show that brings you inspiration, transformation, and leadership. We're helping you get unstuck, connect the dots, see the blind spots so that you can go out and get more new clients, grow your sales, grow your profitability, so you can go out and have a bigger reach, a bigger impact, and bigger contribution, because that's what it's all about, right? So thanks for making us part of your day. We have got a fascinating show. How would you like to learn and discover how to apply sports psychology, sports science, human behavior to be a better you, right? I don't know if you're at a place where you're feeling a little stuck, or maybe you've hit a plateau, or maybe you're dealing with crisis, right? We've got something for you today. I don't know if you've been in a place in time where you've ever considered or contemplated suicide. We've got something for you today. Whether you're an athlete, whether you're a high performer dealing in high stress environments, we've got something for you today with our very, very special guest who is an expert with dozens and dozens of years of experience working with, you know, families, working with crisis and behavioral health for literally over 25 years. She's got a master's degree in clinical psychology. She's a certified master trainer in suicide prevention and intervention by the State of California Department of Mental Health. And this is a topic that is near and dear to all of us. Because do you know a veteran, for example? Do you know that veterans have one of, if not the highest, suicide rates in our country? Which is sad, because they go wear this flag for us, guard our borders for us, protect us, and then they come back home and they can't seem to integrate that effectively into normal everyday life. And the suicide rate is crazy. You know what? It's not just veterans. We all deal with crisis, don't we? Right? And so again, thanks for making us part of your day. We've got a fascinating show. Our guest expert is Sandy Roberts. And by the way, if you want to join in on the conversation, you can do that by going to Dan_Cashel on Twitter. That's Dan_Cashell. If you never want to miss an episode, you can go to growthtofreedom.com/subscribe. That's growthtofreedom.com/subscribe. And if you want to make sure to come back to this episode, because there's going to be a lot of insights and wisdom that Sandy's going to share with you, you can do that at growthtofreedom.com/178. So Sandy, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you. I am delighted to be here. I am fabulous.
Awesome. Well, it's great to have you with us. I want to dive right into it. Obviously, you've got this wealth of experience. I mean, you work with college athletes, high achievers, veterans, really broad range of wisdom and expertise. So like, why are you, I mean, there seems to always be like a story, Sandy, of why people do what they do. And since one of the themes of our conversation today is around human behavior, like, why are you doing what you do today?
Well, you take me back to when this really first pulled me into this field. And that was about 30 years ago. I had a young high school student who was the daughter of a friend of mine, asked me to please sit down and meet her for coffee, because she and her friends were going into their senior year and there was something they really wanted. And that was to be able to start a peer counseling program in their high school. They wanted to be able to help each other. They had heard about these programs and they just had decided that I was the one who could help them do it, even though at that time I was not affiliated with the school or anything like that. Well, 3 hours later and a lot of coffee, I walked out of there committed to helping this girl and her friends start these programs. We did, and during the time frame that I was together with her for her senior year and for others who came into the program, I was really hit like a brick wall about teen suicide, about crises that the students face, about family life, about everything. And that was my real beginning into the crisis field.
So in many ways, you were called to do this.
I was forced and bribed over coffee.
Yeah, it's so interesting because you just took me back to a time when, you know, I was in college And I won't mention the name of this gal, but in college, she confided in me that she was considering committing suicide because she had been raped.
Oh.
And here I was, this, you know, 17-year-old kid who, you know, this was a girl that I really adored and really thought a lot of. And now she's in my arms saying she's thinking about committing suicide, right? And I had no idea what to do except to, you know, I started quoting some things. And I remember this quote that I'd gotten. It's from a Bible verse, which is, you know, what's the use of worry? What good does it do? Does it add a single day to your life? Of course not. And if it can't do such things as that, why worry over bigger things, right?
Yeah.
And at that time, it was like one of the only tools I had in my toolbox to be able to share with her. And she told me years later that that saved her life. And
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. And so, you know, life is so precious and you never know where it's going to turn up. And so now fast forward to today, like, what are you most excited about that you're pursuing or doing? You've got a big mission with the vets and Operation Shockwave. So talk about what you're most excited in your efforts right now.
I have exactly parallel lives in working with the veterans and with Operation Shockwave. I am so excited. We have something new. I am sort of program development for them. And so I come up with all these program ideas and then we implement it. And it's like, wow, that really worked. So actually what we have coming up is, I'm going to put a stop on myself for a second and tell you about my other parallel life because it means something in it. And that I teach a couple of classes at Phoenix College, and that kind of just to keep my hand in it, I fell into it by accident. And I also recently, like a couple of years ago, was asked to teach a couple of classes for their dual enrollment high school. So they have kids that are getting college classes and regular high school classes at the same time from the professors from the college campus, and then they're just across the street. So tying into the military, I have one of the young girls that was in my high school class this past semester. Her great-grandfather was a Navajo code talker, and he has since passed. But his father, so her grandfather, and her dad came to my class and spoke to us about the whole Navajo code talking, what they had been through as a family, what it meant to them. They brought some memorabilia with them, and they just agreed that they had such a great time doing it that they're going to come help us launch a Veterans History Project that we've been wanting to do. So June 1st, we're going to start this, and it'll be four Fridays in a row. And they will come and they will spend the first 2 hours just talking about the whole history of Navajo code talking and their family. And then the other 3 weeks after that, then I'll take everyone through compiling their story and how it works. And this is for veterans. And actually, people in the community who would like to come are also invited. It's free. And it's going to be at the East Valley Veterans Center.
That's awesome. And I know we'll talk more about that as we wrap up the show and where people can go to learn more about what you're up to and that sort of thing. So let's dive into the human, you know, mind, right? So one of my first, I guess, explorations, if you will, Sandy, at this was my dad introduced me to a book by an author named James Lore, who's gotten pretty well known for some of his other books. But this book, my dad had gotten me, I believe I was 16 or 17 years old. It's called Mentally Tough, How to Apply Sports Psychology to Business.
Oh, right? I love that.
And obviously with your background in sports psychology, along with what you do with mental health, dealing with crisis, human behavior, you could probably relate to this. So like, what is the biggest challenge that you see? I mean, you know, we've got things coming at us 100 miles an hour. It's almost like, even if we're not a vet or not been suffering from concussion because we've been hit too many times in football or sports, that people are walking around with PTSD just in everyday life now more than ever because of all the information overload, the internet, technology, etc. So speak to that a little, your observation, or maybe you have some science and facts to back that up too.
You know what, we could probably dig up all kinds of science and facts, but here's what I've noticed. And this goes back to kind of the two things that are really at the top of the cause and what's going on with, you know, all the way across the board, athletes, veterans, et cetera. And that's moral injury and authoritarian wound. And moral injury is when we have to do something, we don't have a choice, and it goes against who we are and what we feel. So being a soldier out in the field and taking a life is definitely not something, you know, that we like signed up to do. In sports, coming back around to looking at that, is we have, well, let me talk about an experience that I had when I was working with the Scottsdale Community College football team as their sports psychologist. And I had a wonderful young man who had, he was on the front line, he would play, he would, you know, he was excellent. And he said to me that every time he lines up, knocks out the other guys, he does it because that's what goes on automatic pilot. But when he looks around and he sees the carnage that he's created, he just can't believe that he literally was capable of doing that. And it was a significant conflict for him emotionally. And it was a conflict about going into sports. Often the students will go into sports trying to get a scholarship. They'll go into sports because they love sports. And they don't think about the consequences of an injury, especially in something like football, where it's a very aggressive sport. Mind you, I love football. And I'm sitting, you know, screaming at the TV, get him, get him, get him.
You know? You and me both.
Throw it to Fitz. But it was my first inclination of what the meaning behind the moral injury for doing something that we didn't really want to do, but we were required to do it for the place that we were in. And that is a very pervasive and, oh my gosh, damaging place for veterans when they're out on the battlefield and they have to do something. It's just a really significant thing. And we find it in our life. And that leads us into that authoritarian piece. Because we have someone telling us what to do, that we have to obey their orders. And if their orders are not in somebody's best interest, and we have to obey them, that is also a moral injury and authoritarian one at the same time.
Now, with that in mind, Sandy, we've got to go to break here. But when we come back, we're going to take a deep dive. Have you ever found yourself pulled, feeling conflict because on one end you were told or thought you should go this route, yet deep inside you were like, I'm not sure if this is the best interest for me or the other parties involved? Well, guess what? We're going to talk about moral injury and what you can do to transform that crisis and experience to one of your biggest next breakthroughs. That and a whole lot more coming up with Sandy Roberts on growthtofreedom.com.
Get your free Growth to Freedom gift package now. Includes two books, audio, and video program to transform your life, business, and relationships. Call now at 602-246-3389. That's 602-246-3389. Receive your free gift package for greater competence, clarity, and capabilities now. That's 602-246-3389. Or go to growthtofreedom.com/gift. That's growthtofreedom.com/gift.
Welcome back to growthtofreedom.com. So Sandy, I want to dive right back into it. So we were talking about this idea of moral injury, dealing with authoritarian, basically commands or orders and dealing with conflict, right? And as you're listening right now or watching right now, have you ever been in that place where you felt like some conflict of like, on one end, there is the cost of if you don't do it, from maybe a work perspective or being an athlete or what have you. On the other end, there's a cost to the other party in your mind. Like you could consider it some type of strategic carnage, if you will, knowing that it's not necessarily going to raise the level of the others involved, so to speak. Have you ever dealt with that? Well, I mean, that's part of what crisis really is. So Sandy, as you like that, if you can think of that particular athlete that you talked about, like what advice would you give him today if he were sitting with you right now to ultimately break through this place of being stuck or conflicted to then be able to go out and perform and continue to be potentially a high achiever?
Actually, what ends up happening is I think that we need to make some decisions about what's our greater goal. And we have to look at, if you look at veterans, they have a greater goal for the peace in our country. And that for saving lives, for being able to save. And then if you look at, I have this, well, actually my next book that's coming out is called Military, Police, Fire, and Football, and Teaming Up to Defeat Suicide. And each one of those, there's so many similarities. So they have injuries, the crowd cheers them on in a sense, they're in a social media fishbowl, their strategy. There's so many complex things that are going on when we're looking at that. They all have uniforms. They all have someone telling them what to do. orders are coming down to them from someone else, and they have to carry them out or not. There's danger everywhere. And whether it's a physical injury or an emotional injury, there's something going on. And they have to decide, is what they're able to do with what they're accomplishing worth it? For a soldier, they're trying to keep us alive and safe back here. And
right.
And they have to do some things that are really terrible. And they have to, you know, we have to be able to give them services when they come back that helps them realign their body and realign their emotional and mental capacity to deal with these things and to feel, you know, good about their effort, not necessarily what they had to do, but their effort just to protect our country and that in their families. When we get into some fire, everybody, oh, the firefighter, you know, they're the hero and stuff like that. And the irony is they suffer really the same amount of trauma drama that a police officer would. They're the ones who are having to pull the bodies out of the car accident. They're the ones who are having to decide, you know, how many people can they save and that, and who's most likely for them, you know, for the greater good of the size of the group. And they're the ones running into dangerous chemical burn situations where, you know, they may or may not come out of it. We have football, and what we owe football, looking at what it's doing to our brains, we owe football for discovering the brain injuries and what the jostling has done. And that if we hadn't lost some football players and discovered the CTE situation, then, you know, we wouldn't be able to be looking at this for other avenues. And police, I mean, that instantaneous decision of what do I do, especially when somebody pulls a toy gun. Have you ever walked down the aisle at Target and looked at the toy guns? I can't tell them apart.
Right, yeah.
And then somebody pulls that on you, and you're trained that, you know, to save the larger amount of people, you need to respond. So they all have some type of an injury that comes from a thought process of doing what they're supposed to be doing. If they have good...
And I want to jump in, Sandy, because like one thing that pops into my head, right, is it's not only being conditioned and taught, but isn't there a link to like the reptilian mind syndrome that we deal with, right? Because, you know, I remember as a kid, you know, like my dad even, you know, take guns out of the picture. I remember my dad, he said, if you're ever in a potential altercation or an uncomfortable place, right, that what you really want to do, like if you think you're going to get hit, then strike first, right? Like don't wait. Don't wait to take the first shot. Like, like if you kind of feel like you're going to have somebody hit you, then go make sure you're protected by essentially being in a good position to either defend yourself and or make sure to take the first blow. And I think there's a lot of parents who've taught their kids this way. So like, is it any wonder that like if a toy gun gets pulled out, I mean, the response is to protect yourself, which essentially it's a protective mechanism, but it even goes deeper than conditioning, in my opinion. It's even the reptilian fight or flight idea, like it's, which is unconscious in us. So talk about that a little, because I've not heard, you know, with gun control, I mean, I have a very controversial topic now, but this does tie in with, you know, even the football example, firefight, et cetera. But talk about the relevance of the reptilian mind related to like fight and flight as it ties into this.
Actually, that ties into one of the things that we use to deal with it, and that which is tapping, emotional freedom technique, which is tapping on literal acupuncture points that actually stops the flow, and it re-increases the ability to fully process, and it stops the fight or flight. And so it interferes with that panic and gets the blood and everything else flowing back to the brain. Because that fight or flight is built in, just as you say, and that it's completely built into us, and then it's, you know, reprogrammed by people, and that, you know, your safety comes first, and it blocks all rational thinking. It blocks everything else. It just stops it from working. So a lot of places are working with different treatment modalities that help let that flow. EMDR, which is an eye movement, a desensitization reprocessing, emotional freedom technique, which is tapping on acupuncture points. These are therapy models, some of which you can use yourself. The tapping you can use yourself. And I've used it in the midst of crises. I've used the tapping in the midst of a literal significant suicide intervention more than once. We teach it in our workshops to veterans, and they're using it, and therapists are using it. So that stoppage, that, you know, putting it into the protective mode And imagine you're out there and you're stuck in that mode, and then it's hard to turn it off. And then that's what we're dealing with when somebody comes back.
You know, it seems that what it relates to as well, Sandy, it's the difference between being responsive to something, reacting to something, and overreacting to something, right? When we get in this fight or flight area, I'll speak to me and the elephant in my room, which is at times I can get to a place where I react or overreact to things instead of respond. And what I think I hear you saying is there's a simple method like tapping, which if you're new listening to this, you may have never even heard of tapping, but there's many simple methods, but one of them being tapping that literally can take you out of a place of overreacting or reacting to things to be able to get greater results and greater grounding, you know, be grounded, further grounded. Is that true?
Yes, it is. It literally stops that panic mode. Example, one of our key people, her name is Cass, and she West Point graduate, 2 or 3 master's degrees. She's decided now she's going to become a psychiatrist. She will be fabulous. She was Army police. Actually, she was Army in charge of police, and she was blown up. Her entire back and neck are titanium. And she is absolutely incredible, just absolutely, positively brilliant and incredible. And we were doing a little talk at one of the community colleges, and she had come in and she had just found out that she had not been accepted into a program that she had applied to at ASU. And she was just devastated. And we had people, about 50 or 60 people there, and they're like milling all around. And, you know, I'm looking at her and I'm going, okay, this isn't going to work. She's not in good shape here for doing what we need to do. And in a case like that, somebody would have, you know, I mean, just emotionally, she wasn't prepared. I mean, what do? You try to do what you're going to do anyway, et cetera. So I said, okay, just do this with me. And so we're standing there face to face in the middle of the crowd. People are going all the way around us. And then I say, okay, just do this with me. And I have her stop tapping just right under the collarbone and start taking some breaths and talking about, you know, even though this really sucky thing is happening to me and that I just really want to bolt and I just really want to run out the door. And I'm very upset. I can't believe this crummy thing is happening to me right now. And I'm supposed to go on in 5 minutes and present as part of our team. And yeah, right. And seriously, we did this for just a few minutes. And within a few minutes, she had released that fight or flight block that we were talking about. And that her was getting full oxygen to the brain and that she was able to calm down. And now I have her teaching that piece in the workshops. And the first thing she wants to do is tell everybody that story, because unless you've experienced it, you know, you kind of go, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And speaking of yeah, 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 guess what? As you're listening right now, would you like to be in a place where you could know how to permanently release fight or flight in your world? Would you like to stop the panic mode? Would you like to stop overreacting to things impulsively? Now, Sandy, this is so fascinating to me, and how you have taken a technique, which I've certainly heard about for well over a decade, and applied it in some different ways. And so for our listeners, for our viewers who may have never heard about tapping, I mean, when they hear this story about the gal you just shared, they have to be going, that sounds too good to be true, right? But literally, there's tens of thousands of people using tapping to permanently get out of panic mode, to reduce and eliminate stress. Tapping, in your mind, what is tapping?
Tapping is EFT, stands for Emotional Freedom Technique, and it is literally tapping on a handful of acupuncture points. If you, and those points are on the bottom of your hand, the bottom of your palm. So they call that the karate chop. If you were going to just take your hand and hold it so that the bottom of the hand touched the surface, you would be chopping on that bottom part. That's an initial part. And then it goes to at the beginning of the eyebrows, the side of the eye, under the nose, on the chin, and right under the collarbone points. And there's some other places you can tap under the arm, on top of the head. Those are the core places.
Now, by the way, speaking of what we're going to do is, if you want to actually see a visual representation of these places, that Sandy's just described. You can go to groom.com/178. We'll actually have a diagram so that makes it super easy for you to understand what these points are so that you can do it yourself. So you can get that at growththefreedom.com/178. So go ahead, Sandy.
Perfect. Okay. So while you're doing that, you're thinking about what is going on that really sucks. What is the sucky thing in my life? We don't have to jump to, you know, oh, my life is so wonderful when it isn't at that moment. So when your body is in that condition and you're starting to get into that fight or flight, or I can't deal with this, or this really sucks.
I have to tell you, I really love the medical terminology you're using here. What in my life sucks?
That's right.
I expected like a 40-cent word and I got like a word I use a lot, which is about this right now.
Yeah. You know, hey, when life sucks, you want it to be better.
That's right.
You want it to be better now. And that, you know, don't send me here or send me there. I want something that's going to work now. And I want you to know, I teach this to all my students in the classes I teach at Phoenix College. I brought this into our military program, and there's other practitioners around the valley who use this in their therapy practices and everything. It is fabulous in that. So what you're doing is you're saying, even though this particular thing in my life sucks, or even though I was extremely nervous about being on the show, even though I didn't know exactly how it was going to go, and I had started to get my anxiety up and that. So it's kind of like, and even though this is going on, I can get through this. Even though the sucky thing is really happening, I can turn it around. Even though, you know, I really did not want to, you know, go out the door and that because I have this interview, because I have whatever I have, because they turned me down, like even though this has me really upset and I just want to go into hiding, or I want to go into super aggression and that. I don't need it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to buy into that. I can calm down. I can feel better, take some deep breath. And sometimes in a real sort of what I would call a more emergency type of a situation, I will go right to just under the collarbone, and just, you can cup one hand and hit both sides right under the collarbone. You could use both hands. It doesn't matter. But the idea is to oxygenate. How's that for a fancy word? And that, but you want to breathe and you want to tap. And you want to address what really sucks, and you want to then move towards what you would like to have happen instead. And in a panicky type of a situation, when you're a 15 on a 10 scale of stress, that's when you're going to notice something different. If you have something you're trying to make a decision about, and it's like giving you a little bit of stress, like a 1, a 2, a 3 on a 10 scale, in that you're not going to really tell any difference. But if you're really upset, you're going to be able to tell right away. I have even used this on the telephone during suicide crisis interventions to get a person down that there was no way I could track where the person was. She's on the East Coast. She's hysterical. Her boyfriend just broke up with her. She wants to kill herself. And I have her sitting there 3 o'clock in the morning and we're tapping. And every time I hear her voice go up, we start tapping again. So you can do this for yourself. You can do this with someone else. You can do it to calm a situation. I've even done it with animals.
Now, speaking of calming, if you'd like to go deeper with this, if you'd like to find a way to release panic, if you'd like to release stress, permanently reduce stress, have a method that you can use, a tangible method that you can use. I find this so fascinating. To me, like I shared earlier, I've heard of tapping for years. I've even used tapping, but you're just kind of really, well, maybe it's just because of our affinity with each other and you tying it in that, well, wow, so now I see a new perspective. And, you know, the other part, you know, the teacher will appear when the student is ready, right? And so, like, what do you see happen for people?
Well, I'm going to take one little sidestep, because when you talk about the sports, a few years ago, there was a college baseball team that was in the College World Series, and they were doing tapping in the dugout, and nobody had really heard of it at all. And they're sitting in the dugout tapping on themselves. And so the sports reporters sent somebody down to the dugout to find out what the heck they were doing down there, because they're sitting in there, you know, tapping on their face, tapping on their collarbone, and that, you know, it looks silly, of course. And so, but they won the World Series. So that was a real benefit, a real bonus. And so it can help you with performance in that sense, because it allows your body to really function and you're able to move some of those blocks. So what was the question?
What have been some of the results and breakthroughs of people using tapping and turning to it, not just as like a one-time kind of fad or a magic button, but actually using it on an ongoing basis?
So, of course, I teach this to my classes. And so one of my students said that they had wanted to get off their anxiety meds, and they were working with their therapist or with their psychiatrist, and they told them that they were doing tapping, and they were tapping every day, addressing the issues that were getting them upset. And so they worked their way down on the anxiety meds and substituted the tapping to help them no matter where they were or whatever was going on in that. And I just keep getting that kind of feedback all the time. I mean, besides the, you know, the experience with it with the veterans, besides the experience with it, you know, just in general for all these years that I've been using it, I was lucky to be able to go to a live series of workshops on it back in the ages when Gary Craig was just, you know, really running with this and very much a veteran supporter. And I spent like a week in Dallas and that really delving into this. So it's so simple. I know that your website will be able to send them mine and everything else where they can get diagrams of it. But the idea is, even don't worry about where all the specific tapping points are. Just go right under the collarbone. Just take your hand, tap on there, take a couple deep breaths, and just say, even though this particular situation is stressing me out, even though this person is stressing me out and I don't want to overreact, even though I'm trying to be calm so that I can, you know, drive safer, even though I'm trying to be calm because the kids are screaming and, you know, I don't want to punch them, so I'm just going to tap on my collarbone instead. That, even though I don't know how I'm going to get through the month with all these bills, it's not going to, you know, the tapping theory is not going to deposit money in your account, unfortunately.
That's a different program you are.
That's next week's episode. But when you start to get stressed, acknowledge it. Don't pretend you aren't stressed. Don't pretend that you're supposed to be able to just automatically, magically take care of it and be fine. It doesn't work that way. And that our body doesn't work that way. And so if we can just use this and just break that cycle of going deeper and deeper into the stress and into the anxiety and into the we're not good and everything sucks, and that acknowledge it, say it out loud, tap on it, take some deep breaths, and then check out some of the other resources. I have so many people come and say, I am so glad I learned that.
And speaking of resources, you know, where can people, if they want to go deeper, if they want to, you know, open the door to have a solution to stress, a permanent solution for dealing with crisis, staying out of fight or flight or staying out of panic mode, anxiety, etc., where can they to learn more about what you do? What resources should they check out when they do?
They can go to, there's two different websites. There's mine, sandyroberts.com, and there's operationshockwave.org. And we both address the tapping. I know for sure that the sandyroberts.com has a list of the different tapping groups. There's Nick Ortner. There's several people who put on all types of resources. You could download diagrams. You can do additional research and find out who's doing what. So the lists of them and what they're involved in and where you can go to their websites. I have my students go to carollook.com. And she has an archive, and I make them come back to class with a list of the three topics that grabbed them that they related to that were on her laundry list of archives of tapping, and it will walk you through, say, this at this point and this at that point and that, and then you can just make your own path with it.
I'm going to encourage, if you want to go deeper with what Sandy's been sharing with you, take a step today. Go to sandyroberts.com. That's S-A-N-D-E-R-O-B-E-R-T-S, sandyroberts.com. She's got resources there. Start navigating to go deeper with the solution here. You can also go to operationshockwave.com. That's operationshockwave.com.
And, it's .org.
.org, yes. I apologize. Yes, operationshockwave.org. Thank you. Now, what action steps, Sandy, would you encourage, you know, with everything we've covered today, what action steps would you like our viewers to take as a result of our time together today?
I would love it if they went to the operationshockwave.org and took a look at what we're doing in the veteran community and see when we have a bunch of free events. We have an open mic night next week and just all kinds of different things going on. and see if there's anything veteran in their family that would need that, or family member. There's all kinds of things all over the valley in that, at least each month. And I would love it if they went to my website and pulled up some of those resources. There's a whole emergency resource list, numbers to call, all the groups that provide services around the valley and nationally. And, you know, contact me and that if there's anything that someone needs help with.
So reach out to Sandy. You can, again, do that. Take action today. You can go to sandyroberts.com, sandyroberts.com. You can go to operationshockwave.org. You won't be disappointed. A load of fun, but all kinds of valuable resources to help you, help your family, help those you care about, your team, if you're building a company, and a whole lot more. So make sure to do that. Now, Sandy, you know, we're winding down here and only have a couple minutes left, but what's one question I should have asked you?
I don't know. You should have asked me, do they want to go to the ball game?
Now, by the way, my team just sent me a note as they were listening in. They said that the World Series team, Oregon State, was the team that used EFT in the dugout that you were referring to in 2007.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you.
Yep. So we'll post that also in the show notes, which you can get at growthtofreedom.com 178. That's growthtofreedom.com/178.
All the way back.
What were you known for in high school? I'm curious.
Journalism.
High school
journalism. I lived in the journalism room. I was on the newspaper and yearbook staff. I was, you know, I wanted to be a writer, you know, on the paper. I wanted to be a reporter, but I was really good with a lot of the technical stuff that other people weren't. So I ended up being the business manager, you know, in charge of, you know, this, that, or the other. But that really got me through high school. That was my saving grace.
Wow. Wow. What would you say is an unusual thing that most people don't know about you?
Oh, that when all the girls in high school had movie stars on their walls, I had Mickey Mantle.
That's great. Mickey Mantle. I didn't expect that, by the way. That's awesome. So we're winding down. You know, as you've been listening, as you've been watching, I want to encourage you to take action with what Sandy's been sharing with you. I've got 2.5 pages of notes here, right? If you're at a place where you're dealing with crisis, you're dealing with stress, if you're dealing with anxiety, try tapping. Tapping can really transform your life, to reduce it, to give you a tool to start eliminating or reducing the anxiety, the stress, and turn it into a positive. It's simple. It's easy to do. You can go get the resources at sandyroberts.com. That's sandyroberts.com. Also look at what she's up to with veterans at operationshockwave.org. That's operationshockwave.org. Now, Sandy, it's been a pleasure to have you with us here today. Thank you.
Thank you. And we're actually going to do a 3-part tapping series at the East Valley Veterans Center in July. So that'll all be on the websites.
That's awesome. So there you have it. I want to encourage you, take action with what Sandy has shared with you today. Put it in place. You won't be disappointed. Well, I mean, if you want to continue to be operating in crisis mode and operating out of high distress, not just stress, but distress, and you want to be constantly overreacting to things and in a state of like confusion and overwhelm all the time, well, then don't do anything. Like, just don't.
Right, don't call me.
Looking for a new, better way. And I would encourage you to go deeper with these resources today. And by the way, if you missed any part of today's show, you can come back to this episode at growthtofreedom.com/178. That's growthtofreedom.com/178. If you never want to miss an episode, go to growthtofreedom.com/subscribe, growthtofreedom.com/subscribe. And our show is available through all the different types of podcast platforms you can think of. So you can go find them there as well. So appreciate you being part of our show today. Take action, seize the day, make it a great week, and we'll see you next time on growthtofreedom.com.
Your free Growth to Freedom gift package now includes 2 books, audio, and video program to transform your life, business, and relationships. Call now at 602-246-3389. That's 602-246-3389. Receive your free gift package for greater confidence, clarity, and capabilities now. That's 602-246-3389. Or go to growthtofreedom.com/gift. That's growthtofreedom.com/gift.